You're listening to 100.9 FM Noongar Radio, and we'll be broadcasting here. This is Health Matters on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, and we're talking about, or we'll be having the conversation and the discussion, which is really important. And wherever you might be, it's a good day wherever. Yeah, throughout Perth and the metropolitan area. We're broadcasting on the Packham network as well. And we'll be heard in Sydney, Melbourne, and of course all the places that are listening into Noongar Radio. And we're talking basically on Health Matters. And on Health Matters, I'd like to say a Dr. Femi, thank you very much for coming to the studio from Royal Perth. And it's, our heart is pretty important. Tell us a little bit about your life and where you come from and where you are here.
Well, good morning, Jeremy, and thank you for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure to be here and to be able to address the audience and reach out to the Indigenous people of Australia and in particular Western Australia. As you may be able to tell from the way I speak, I'm not from around these parts.
Yeah. I work that out.
Yeah. I've been in Australia for about 18 months, but I come from the UK. But originally, actually, I was born in Africa. I was born in Ethiopia, and my parents emigrated to the UK, where I took an interest in medicine and studied, and eventually ended up in my chosen discipline of vascular surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
I completed my training and became a consultant in the UK, and then decided I needed some further training, and I decided to choose Australia as a place to come to learn some more, particularly because I've got a real deep interest in diabetes and diabetic foot complications, and also because Australia, from a vascular surgery perspective, offers a lot with regards to additional training and some of the techniques that aren't so common in the UK. So
yeah,
that was what happened, and I stayed here for a year, and then mission creep came into the process, and currently I haven't really got any plans to go back, so that tells you a lot about what Australia has to offer.
Yeah, and we're talking about a very sort of a field, I suppose. It's a related field when we're talking here. David, you're from Mudjana. Tell us about that.
Thanks
good
for having
to be, good
me.
To see you.
Yeah,
anyway.
You too. Thanks for having me again, Jeremy. It's great to be here as well. And like Femi said, it's great to sit here and talk to the Perth community about diabetes and their foot health. A little bit about me. Wadjila fella, from
yeah.
Geelong originally. Moved over to Perth about 7 years ago. And like Femi, have a strong commitment to Aboriginal people and Aboriginal health. So I'm really keen to work in the community, and that's how I got involved with Mudjana. So Mudjana is a diabetes and podiatry program based here in Perth, and we service the metropolitan area. Yeah, so it's really great to be here and speak with you.
And Annette. Good to see you here in the studio. This is the first time you came here to Noongar Radio.
Yes, first time being here in Noongar Radio, besides being on the other end and
yes.
listening to it.
Yes.
So now you get to speak on it, so how cool is that?
Tell us about country and your connections.
So yeah, I'm from the southwest of WA, so grew up down there and a part of the community down there. So I've been working in Aboriginal health for 9 years and got all my qualifications and relationships and all that from the southwest, so quite lucky to be able to work and study at the same time. So left Bunbury 4 months ago to work at Diabetes WA here in Perth, so it's a great opportunity to expand my experiences and get out there more to help more of the community. So yeah, so I'm quite lucky to be where I am here today.
Really, when you think of it, it is a sort of it is a specialist field when it comes to Aboriginal health. And Dr. Femi, let's talk about heart health.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll segue through it as well, because I mentioned it is a related field within our community as well, and the importance of heart health.
Yes. I mean, so when you say heart health, what did you mean? Sorry,
You're a surgeon.
Yes,
and when you look at the effects that happen within the communities
yeah.
and health, and,
I think Yeah, so I think that was one of the things that really struck me when I first arrived in Australia, really, was there are some people who have great healthcare and there are some people who don't have great healthcare.
Yes.
And that's very evident in terms of how they turn out and the outcomes that they have. And I got into this game of being a surgeon and into medicine really to help people. I mean, it sounds pretty cliched and corny, but that is entirely why I got into this game. And it kind of, I suppose, breaks my heart really to see people who could be helped and who have presented to the hospital too late, where we end up having to do pretty awful things to these people. In my sort of a specialty, making sure that the circulation is intact and going round the body is pretty important. We make contact with a lot of different specialties because you need blood to get wounds to heal. You need blood to get yes. antibiotics to where you need to if you've got an infection. And you need blood to keep you strong and healthy.
Yes.
So keeping the circulation intact is actually pretty important in the general scheme of things for a lot of people, especially people with diabetes as well. And as I say, when I came here and I saw people with very badly damaged feet who really needed to either lose a limb because of the diabetes,
yes.
I thought to myself, well, we really have to do something to change this. And again, it's timely that we're talking about the Indigenous people of Australia, because of anybody in Australia, they have the worst deal of it all. You know, I'll throw you one statistic.
Yes.
If you are Indigenous, your risk of losing a leg from diabetes is 38. That's 38 times higher than a non-Indigenous patient. Okay? And that also gets worse if you are from the country, because it takes longer to get here. You don't get early intervention from people. And with those sort of horrible statistics, I think you mentioned closing the gap before we started this radio show. And
yeah.
I think that is certainly something that is the ultimate focus of what we do. We have to close the gap. We have to make these outcomes better.
And we're doing it now. It's amazing, because the people are listening into Noongar Radio as well. And to talk about intervention, the importance of early stage intervention.
Yeah. Again, the way diabetes works and the way it causes problems with feet is that it affects three different areas. It affects your circulation, which means that yeah. you take longer to heal. Yeah. It also affects the nerves, which means that you can't feel the feet. You eventually lose the sensation in your feet.
Yes.
That means when patients step on something, step on a stone or they step on a bit of broken glass or something, they get a wound in their foot, which they don't know anything about. If you don't know about it, then you can't treat it appropriately with infections or wash it or clean it, because you don't know that you've got a wound. And then the final thing that it does is that diabetes affects your body's ability to fight infection.
Yes.
So you take all those these three things together, it's like putting a match to some dry wood. It's the diabetes and infection can rage through your foot, and before you know it, very, very quickly, you can end up with an enormous amount of damage to the foot. And this is where early intervention really makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because by going to see people like... is that a mental blank?
No, it's okay.
By going to see people like David early, seeing podiatrists, you are able to get somebody to check your feet out appropriately. And also, if you have a wound in your foot, we yeah. can get in there really quickly before too much damage is done. And that, I can't express how important it is in terms of saving not just feet, but also saving toes and big wounds, and the time that you spend in hospital too.
Yeah. David, we're talking about preventative care and to prevent all these things. And, and Dr. Femi, it's really important of people working together to be able to do something. And tell us about Mudich Jenner and what's their approach when it comes to this process we're talking about now.
Yeah, excellent. And like Femi said, And it's an excellent segue across that early intervention is the key. So in 2010, there was seen as a gap within the Perth community. No podiatry service was being provided to specifically to Aboriginal people. Yes. And so through collaboration of North Metro Health and South Metro Health, they developed Mudich Jenner. So Mudich Jenner, as a lot of your listeners will know, is strong feet or healthy feet in local language. And so this was seen as a real target area to get early intervention and education to the community. And so we target that through using a culturally appropriate tool in the fact that we have Aboriginal staff that are on the ground. And so we have Aboriginal health workers, we have podiatrists, diabetes educators, dietitians, and they work holistically together to provide education and treatment and assessment to the community free of charge within 36 locations around Perth. So it's giving people accessibility, but also the education in an appropriate or a culturally appropriate manner so that they feel like they can engage with the service properly.
And on the subject of cultural appropriation and, you know, being able to do that effectively within our community as well as people like you, Nat, is to come in and talk and to sort of bring down the fear-based process when it comes to, you know, going to a particular practice or a place. How has culture done that?
Oh, well, what we like to, from Diabetes WA perspective, we do more of a person care, person-centred care approach. So we like to listen to their story. They tell us their yarn about their journey with diabetes. And, and we make them feel valued, like we're gonna listen and hear your story. And then we try to help adapt their story into or their lifestyle with their diabetes. So whatever their concerns and issues are, we support them and mentor them through that process and then try to help them develop a care plan that suits them, not what they're being told to do by a doctor or, you know, we've been being spoken to. So we're there to listen and to support them in that role.
And when we're talking about a care plan, what are we talking about when it comes to that care plan and the importance of that care plan?
Well, when we talk about care plan, one shoe doesn't fit all, so it comes down to that person's needs and plus where they are in their lifestyle and where they are with their diabetes journey as well. So that's why we listen to their story and their concerns. So it depends on what their concerns are is what we put into their plan. So, for example, if their concern is their medications, well, then we'll talk about that and see what the issues are and work around it, and then we'll help them put steps in place for them to get on top of their management in a way that's culturally appropriate and a way that they feel safe and supported in.
Yeah, it is a systemised approach, isn't it, when it comes to medicine?
It is, and I'm glad that you sort of, you know, mentioned the importance of culture. So my heritage is African.
Yes.
And understanding the importance of culture is something that's in my DNA, literally. And it was interesting to sort of coming here and meeting the, you know, first people of this country and this nation and understanding the importance of culture and how that weaves into their perceptions of health and how that weaves into how they respond to official members of the healthcare professionals. And I think it's really important that we treat these patients as individuals and understand where they're coming from, because if we can't engage with people from indigenous communities at an individual level, they simply will not seek our services. They won't have trust in us, and they won't believe that what we're saying is actually the right thing for them. And it's got to be a truly collaborative approach, a partnership, not just between us healthcare professionals, but also that partnership includes the patients as well. So since I've been here, one of the things that I've been really trying to do is trying to make sure that some of the systems that we have in place and some of the way that we look after people with foot complications is culturally appropriate. And that means building relationships. When David sits with people and works on their feet, you're working on it. You may take half an hour to do that, but you've got nothing else to do but have a conversation and find out what's happening in these people's lives. And I think that podiatrists are the real tip of the spear when it comes to foot health. They really are so, so important. It's not people like me, because when you come to see people like me, you're seeing people like me right at the end of your disease process, where you may need to have something done.
And turning to you, David.
That's exactly right. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to engage at that primary level out in the community, so that anyone, that there's no shame about accessing a service, and so that we're not progressing to a point where they're presenting to emergency with a significant problem that ends up with an amputation. We're trying to get to patients and clients before that happens, to give them the tools to be able to self-manage or to access a service like us, where we can really provide them education and treatment to increase their education, increase their foot health over a long period of time.
Yeah. David, in that, you would have some really fine examples where people have come to you and they seek help, and some good stories too.
We run a program called Desmond at the moment. So it's called Desmond stands for Diabetes Education, Self Management, and Ongoing Newly Diagnosed, which is a mouthful. But basically, that's a session where people come and sit with us, and that's where they get to have their open sharing yarning session, and they get to speak with other people who are going through the similar journey as them with their diabetes. And that's when we have that person centered approach and make them feel comfortable. But then with that, we build that relationship up with them, hearing their story. And some of them are quite heart-wrenching, but you also build that relationship up with them and you get friendships out of it. So some of the stories that come out are, you learn from it also, and you go forward from it. But, yeah, it's good.
And as from a traditional community, we also need to know that there are other people. There's a connection. And as Dr. Femi was saying, you were saying that, there is a connection to people, and the importance of that connection, the value of that information going out to the community. And in some way we do have the grassroots, where people are talking and more quicker than a radio, in fact, and to put that message across. How important is that to put it across to the families and the people?
And also you bring your support person, bring your family members with you with the yarning sessions that we have for Desmond, so you're not doing it alone. You can have a member who are going through that journey with you back at home. They can come with you, so they know how it all works and learn about nutrition, learn about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. So they're supporting them with them along their journey as well. So it's good. We run this program to make the whole family feel welcomed and to help support each other.
Yeah, and culturally, the cultural connection is no different to Africa, no doubt.
No, it isn't. I mean, a lot of the things and the cultural observations that I've made are very, very similar. The hierarchical society, having an elder, that's exactly what we've got in Africa, in terms of having somebody who's a more senior member of the society and the community that you can go to and speak to. So again, I understand all of this, instinctively, and I think that it is important to actually be sensitive to that, because otherwise even regardless of whether or not the patient is indigenous or not, if my patient does not have any trust in what I'm about to do or what I say, particularly as a surgeon, this is somebody who's going to actually do something to you physically, to your body, without trust, I cannot do my job. And I think on that issue alone, I'd also like to say that there is this perception that if you come to Perth, you will lose your limb. Okay, and that's one of those barriers against people sort of coming to seek help.
So there's fear.
There's fear. There's a huge amount that we can do now. We've got surgery has moved on so much, medicine has moved on so much, and I am proud to work in a team where we work till the very end to try and keep somebody's limb. We see it as a personal failure if we lose somebody's limb or if somebody has an amputation. So even if we have to remove some toes, we will do our very best to make sure that working with plastic surgeons, working with other specialties, to actually do something to reconstruct that person's foot so that they've got something that they can walk on, which is much better than going back home to the country with a false leg, because that's no good for some people.
Yeah. We're just going to a music break. You're listening to 100.9 FM. This is Health Matters, right here, throughout broadcasting throughout Perth and the metropolitan area, and well, around Australia too. Health matters, which is an important thing we need to talk about. We need to have a conversation, which we're doing right here at Noongar Radio. And let's have a look at, I suppose, a summary of some of the events. And Dr. Femi, you're from Royal Perth Hospital, where you're a surgeon, and you see patients really at the end of the line when it comes to fixing them up. But also an important of education too as well.
No, that's right. I mean, I think it's important to say that most of the time when people come to see us as surgeons who deal with diabetes, usually that's when they've got pretty advanced and good going problems with their feet. But at the same time, as I mentioned earlier in the segment, we are able to do some amazing things, and we can sometimes get to a situation where we don't have to go as far as doing an amputation.
Yes.
And once we've got people over the problems, I think it's really important, in fact we have a duty as the people treating those patients, to actually talk about education and talk about how they can prevent this, and try and make sure that people understand why this process has happened to them in the first place, the importance of coming to see us sooner rather than later, and also to empower the patient, because I don't believe that medicine should be just about the doctors doing everything for the patient. That's not what it should be about. It's a partnership, and it's important that the patient understands their disease process. They're going to be living with this for the rest of their life.
Yes.
But they also need to understand and give them the tools to actually manage that disease and make sure that they're able to look after themselves and try and avoid some of the problems that that could occur. And so we work as it's a collaborative effort. We work with podiatrists, we work with diabetes educators and diabetes doctors and lots of different people. It's a huge team that work and come together for the benefit of the patient.
And it is interesting coming from you. You know, as a cultural person as well, from your roots are from Africa as well, and also seeing it from a different perspective. That you know, there's been leaps and bounds when it comes to health through medical science, and there's been a lot of that.
Yeah.
And some of these fears, to bring these fears down, to say, well, you know, it's really not the end of the world here. You know, there's something that can be done.
No, and he's right. And to a certain extent, it really is about making the connection. And I'll say this time and time again throughout this radio show. It is about making a connection and connecting with people, whether or not you're Indigenous or not.
Yeah.
If you treat a patient, you always win. And so making that connection with the people to make sure that they understand what they're doing and make sure that you build that trust, that's really important. There are so many of my patients who I see frequently who now recognize me, who call me by my first name, and who are happy to see me. And it's the best feeling to walk into a room, to see this person, this poor person who's coming with a foot problem, who when they see you, they smile because they've got that trust that somebody is there who they trust, who's ready to help them and fix them. And it may be that I actually can't actually fix them, but by building that relationship, they know that I've done the very best that I can for them.
And, of course, your post history of where you come from.
That's right.
And where you've worked.
Yeah.
And you know, a person of colour as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It brings those... so it alleviates the fear. And not saying that it is not about colour at the end of the day.
No.
But it alleviates those fears that we need to...
I think it's important, you know... You know, I'm not ashamed to sort of utilize my color, you know, my roots, my background, etc., because whatever it takes to actually build that connection, that's what I will do with the patient. You know, because of the way I talk, you know, the patients who are not Indigenous, who may respond better to that, that's fine. You know, sometimes I will use Australian words. You know, and it's really about communication and just building that relationship with the patient so that they know that there isn't anything to fear. It is, you're in good hands. That's what I like them to feel when they
cite some examples of how it worked. From a personal point of view,
I think I always remember there's a gentleman from Kununurra who he was one of the first patients I treated when I came here. He had a problem with his foot, and I fixed it on one side, the right foot, and he came back with another problem on the other foot. Now he needed some fairly sort of creative surgery to actually deal with that, but he came here. He smiled when he saw me, and he says, "I know you, and I trust you." And, you know, that is the best thing, you know. And even though what I was proposing that I do to him was something that was a little radical, he was on board with that because he had trust. And having a patient who has trust, who's got that mindset, who says, "Well, actually, I'm okay, I'm in good hands," that is what you need to actually get them through what can be sometimes quite challenging situations. And again, it's not just about me. I don't want this to people to think that I'm the only one. I work as part of a team, you know, with some very, very talented people, especially the podiatrists that I work with, who I think are, again, as I say, really important in this. And, you know, after I've done everything that I've done, it is a podiatrist to look after these people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think by doing that, that team includes the patient as well.
Yeah. David, trust. The word trust is an important process.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, get people to, well, not to get people, I don't think that's a good word, but to foster that understanding.
Trust is a huge word, Jeremy, especially within probably the Aboriginal community, due to things that have happened in the past. So it's really, really important to be able to gain trust and rapport with all our clients to enable them to engage with the service. And like Femi touched on, some people aren't going to engage in services or have had negative experiences previously. And so I guess the important thing for us is to provide information for people, so that they can make their own decisions, treat them, like Nat said, on their own merits, and really try and help them through their journey to achieve better health outcomes. So, I mean, I've got an example as well. We had a fella, and I won't mention any names, but who had been pretty much given the ultimatum that he was at the end of the line and he was going to have an amputation. And he wanted to prove to himself and to the people around him that he could be compliant. And he engaged in our service for a year, and that's with regular debridement and wound dressings of this ulcer. And he got to a point where this ulcer was all the way through to his heel, to completely healed in the end, and now his quality of life is excellent. So it's those kind of stories which are heartwarming, but they're also, I guess, tell me and to the community out there that no matter how bad it is, you can always engage with a service because we can potentially fix your problem.
And David, there's people that are around his community, and this is what engagement is about, who, you know, will say, "Oh, where did you go?" I went to Mudich Jenna, and the experience and that story is an important process, and also the well-being of you know, yourself, seeing, hearing, and listening to a positive story like that.
Yeah, and you would know very well, Jeremy, that our biggest tool out in the community is word of mouth. So anything that's positive and then people speak about it, then they're more inclined to tell their family, they're more inclined to engage in the service again or get other people to engage in the service. And that can only be better for the community. So it's really important.
And Nat, on the word of trust, that's pretty important, isn't it?
To our community.
And that engagement.
Because once you get their trust, they'll actually take on board and listen to the advice that you're giving them. Because if they come in with that fear factor, then they could be sitting there with that plain Jane look on your face and nothing's actually soaking in. That's why we love to come in and have a yarn and, as I said, turn it around onto their story, get them doing most of the talking rather than us doing the talking. Because then they feel that being comfortable, and then they build up that relationship with them, and then they're going to open up, and then you can actually be able to talk to them about their journey and the do's and don'ts with diabetes, and just help them have that understanding. Because my personal journey with my community is a lot of people don't actually understand what diabetes means. You know, they just think, oh, it just means, you know, I can't have sugar, and not realising, well, that it's bigger than that, but it's not as scary. So just having that understanding on what you have to do and the changes that you can make in your lifestyle to get that journey rolling for a more positive outcome, and then not having to, you know, go down that scary path of, you know, looking at amputation and stuff like that. So, yeah, trust is the key and right at the beginning.
Let's talk about some of the prevention that can do, and we can all have a word and a say regarding this as well. Preventative care is really important. It's education. And what are some of the things that we need to focus on? And I gather, for an example, smoking.
Definitely smoking. It's my background with working in Aboriginal health, but with my personal journey, I like to start yarning with teenagers, just with their lifestyle. So talking about the good lifestyle, the healthiness, do's and don'ts. So basically, don't even start smoking. Don't pick one up in the first place so you don't get addicted to it. So, you know, that's detrimental hugely on your health in many, many aspects. And so just getting the younger youth aware of what diabetes is and how you can avoid it in the long term, even though, you know, it comes down to your culture. You're already at a loss, as it is with stats, being Aboriginal already. So if you can just get that head start in your younger years, so coming down with prevention, going into the schools or even the young mums groups and just talking about diabetes and talking about healthy choices, you know, instead of going down to the fast food place, you know, maybe just cook up something that's light and easy, and just being able to access fresh fruit and veg as well is really important. Just getting that understanding behind them, the knowledge of, you know, just do some physical exercise, nutrition, and no smokes is best.
Yeah.
Absolutely. From a baseline and an early intervention, so like Natalie's saying, from young kids, those things are really important. I guess once people have diabetes, that's not the end of the world either. And so it's about consistent management from there on in. So seeing your health professionals regularly, whether that be your GP or whether that be your podiatry service or Diabetes WA or whomever, it's important to be ensuring that they're taking their medication regularly. It's important that they're watching what they eat. And at Moonee Jenner, we have a dietitian on board who can provide education around meal plans or food labels or certain different things. But I guess the big thing for me is it's not shaming people on what they eat, Jeremy. It's about changing habit and educating people around what they can substitute potentially. So I understand that everyone can't go and buy a certain type of food, or that they might not have access to a certain type of food. So it's important to find something that suits their lifestyle, which is going to better manage their diabetes. That's really, really important. There also is a huge misconception out there that diabetes is just sugar related. Okay, yeah. That people have sugar, so sweet drinks or lollies and that kind of thing, and that's going to make their sugars go up. There's carbohydrates get broken down into sugar.
Yeah.
And so people that are eating bread, pasta, rice consistently and lots of it during the day, that will also elevate your sugar levels. So, and that can have negative implications in regards to your foot health, your eye health, your kidney health, all these things. So it's really important to go and see someone and have a yarn about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about referral agencies, that you have contact with people that are there where you can refer people, and you mentioned Diabetes Australia as well as other agencies that are out there, and might be nutrition or anything like that. Is there agencies that you have contact with and you can refer those people onto some of those services?
Absolutely. There's so many organisations just within the Perth area specifically from my point of view, that Moonee Jenner engages with, and that might be Diabetes WA running groups, or that might be the street doctor that's out on the ground providing information. We obviously have our own dietitian and diabetes educator on board with us at Moonee Jenner as well. But it's liaising and referring to other health organisations to provide a better holistic care approach for a patient. And I guess from my point of view within Moonee Jenner, we're a free service, Jeremy, so they don't need a referral to come and see us. They can just walk in off the street and come and see us at any of our locations, and they can engage with all the services that we have to offer. And if we can't provide that information for them, then we can refer them out to other organisations as well.
Mm. Oh, really? One thing I do like is a conversation like this. It's amazing, you know, because we're doing things right here on the radio and getting to people out there in the community as well who might be listening. And Dr. Fenn, tell us about that engagement, is that the importance of that as well, because, you know, from a medical point of view as well.
No, you're right. And I think one of the things that, again, I come back to is just this concept, which again David sort of touched on, which is the holistic care. And I've come from the UK, where we've got the National Health Service, which is all about integrate. Everything is under one roof. You know, it's very different to the healthcare system that you have in Australia for a variety of reasons. And, you know, I'm not suggesting for one minute that we need to have the same thing replicated in Australia. But I think what is important with the NHS is the fact that things are connected, the services are connected. And one of the things that I've looked at and tried very hard to work with my colleagues is really about trying to bring people together to get this community going. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of things that we've done. One is that we've put together something called the WA Foot Forum, which is basically a community bringing together all the hospitals, various agencies, Silver Chain, Mudditch, you know, and we're trying to bring all these people with an interest in feet together and under one roof for us to sit, talk, have a conversation like we're having today to decide how we can make outcomes better for everybody with diabetic foot problems or at risk of diabetic foot problems. The other thing that we've tried to do is try to reach out beyond the metropolitan area as well. So Australia has got, you know, it's one of the biggest states in the world. The travel distances that people have to travel from north to come down to Perth for treatments are immense. I mean, it's equivalent of sometimes some people traveling from Moscow to London for treatment. You know, you think about all the cities that you travel between across Europe to get there, Berlin, Switzerland, you know, all of these places that you go past. And, you know, that's what some of these people have to travel to get to see us. So it's not always practical or economic to get all these people down to see us. And so what we need to do is actually support people who are delivering that care locally. And we can do that through telehealth. And one of the things that we're working on is actually trying to find a culturally appropriate way of delivering telehealth to the indigenous population, because they're the ones that are at the highest risk. And how do we engage them with telehealth? Because it's not always the same to say, well, you go and talk to somebody on the screen. Well, you need to build that relationship. And again, I come back to that. Building that relationship is crucial and the absolute foundation of everything that we do. So I think there are some exciting times ahead. I think that we are going to start to grow and build these connections, just build this network of people. And we'll soon be able to, I hope, be able to say to people, well, you know, you've got these services close by you that you can go and access, and if you need to get some really specialist help, we're just on the end of the phone, and we are happy and ready and willing to help.
And the technology, just for our listeners, telehealth, tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's essentially using you know, video conferencing. Say you have a camera and a microphone, much as we're doing now, and we are able to see people on the other end of the other end of the conversation. Can be a little bit difficult sometimes, particularly if you're a little shy, to start talking to somebody who's not in the same room as you. But I think it offers a real ability for us to be able to project ourselves beyond the Perth metropolitan area and really get out to those remote communities where it's a struggle to actually go and see even a doctor. And it may be that there's the other thing I want to highlight is, you know, those people who are doing that on the ground, you know, the nurse who's working in a way station somewhere, or, you know, a little community, you know, sitting there thinking, well, I'm just here on my own, what do I do with this, I don't know. But to have that backup of somebody who's just on the end of a phone that you can see and talk to, show them what the foot looks like, that I think is really powerful. And I think, you know, if we can do that and we can really project ourselves out there, then we can empower these people, both the healthcare professional and the patient, to actually start looking after themselves a bit better.
Yeah. And just on that as well, I don't think travel's the only barrier in that regard. So a lot of people that live in country or in communities might not feel comfortable travelling to Perth to engage in a service. So this opens up an avenue where they can have a family member alongside them, or a nurse that they know very well, to engage in some treatment or some education via teleconferencing, where they might feel comfortable already in their own community, Jeremy, so they don't have to come to Perth.
Yeah. Such a delicate challenge. I'm not going to say problem, because I don't think that there's a problem there. Because there is a solution when you can talk about it, you know, and, Nat.
I'd just like to say also, Diabetes WA, we have the telehealth services in our office as well, so we have diabetes educators ready at hand to take your calls at any time possible. And as they've already said, you know, you can do it in front of the TV screen, so you can have the video conference happening if you're not too comfortable doing that. We have our phone number that you can ring as well, which is 1300 001 880, and you can ring up even if it's just the smallest little question that you may have. We've got the qualified diabetes educators that are on hand ready to answer your calls and just have a good old yarn with you. And if not, you can ring that number, you can get hold of me also, and I can have a chat. And if you've got any concerns or problems and whatnot, yeah, just give us a call.
That's right. It's about accessibility.
Yes.
You know, we need to make it easier for people to access the service. And you guys in Woodridge have done a fantastic job. You know, it's free, it's available. You've got people all over the metropolitan area. And that you've got, you know, Diabetes WA, you're reaching out to people. And I think we who are right at the, I don't want to say top, but, you know, we're sitting in our ivory towers in this beautiful hospital and, you know, we're doing all these fancy operations. We need to be able to reach out to those communities and support them, because I don't believe everybody that has a foot problem needs to come to Perth. I think there's a lot that can be done locally. And I think it's really important that we keep those skills out there locally. If we suck everybody into Perth, then there's nobody to look after you when you're out in the community. And as you said, David, people feel comfortable being treated in their own homes or in their own communities, and we should be able to do that.
With every program it comes to a conclusion, but we've still got a bit of time. But this is a really great conversation. It's a conversation on health, and it's a conversation, it's people, you know, it's us, it's community, and it doesn't matter who you are and where you're from. And you know, telehealth, and that's across Australia as well.
It's initially across WA, but if we can get the model right, and if we can show how it works, and then this is something that other states can actually look at, trying to sort of adapt and do that. I mean, it's been going for other specialties, they've been doing it for a while. It just hasn't worked so well with people who have got foot problems, and linking in podiatry with that as well. So this is really where we're trying to sort of break some ground and make sure that...
The importance is that link, isn't it?
Yeah.
And David, of course... It is. You're part of the chain. You're part of this whole process, and community is the, I suppose, in a way, it's the main, I suppose, the blood, or the people, the community is the most important. It's the getting the message across out there. Have you got any phone numbers? And you've got contact numbers, because we're coming to a conclusion. The time has just gone so quickly, because it is a great conversation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if anyone ever wants to get in contact with Mudditch Jenner, we've got 36 locations around Perth. We take the van, we run alongside other health organisations, Derby Yerrigan, Nijilawonga, Maya. If they want to give us a call on 9278 9922, we can always make an appointment. But like I said before, we're a walk-in service and we're a free service, so they don't need to book an appointment if they want to come and see us. If you ever see the big orange vans floating around Perth, come up and have a yarn, say g'day. We've got a friendly bunch that work for us, and they'd be more than willing to help. And while I'm on that as well, under our East Metropolitan Health banner, we run a lot of healthy lifestyle programs. So going back from what Femi's saying, is when people are presenting with a foot problem or a significant foot problem, we're also trying to get people engaging with services before they get to that point as well.
Yeah.
So about, you know, eating healthy, exercising, all these kind of things. And we've got specific programs that are run at Quartine Court. We've got programs in Midland, exercise programs. So there's a lot of information out there. But if they want to call that number again, 9278 9922, and we can provide any information to the community.
Natalie.
Yeah, so just again, just say if anyone wants to ring up to speak to our diabetes educators, for either via video conference or just over the phone, it's 1300 001 880, or you can go onto our online diabeteswa.com.au. So thank you. And just while I'm here, I'll just have to say I've got a lot of family who've been ringing me. My phone's been going off while I've been sitting here. So
it was your phone, wasn't it?
Shout out to Talisha, Patrick and Graham and the rest of the family around WA and down south. Hello.
Yeah. It's wonderful to come into the studios here and again to talk and have the conversation. It's a rich conversation. It's about health. It's about people, and it's about accessing services within the community. And Royal Perth, no doubt, it's about access to community. It's education, and you know, you're fronting up to Royal Perth. You're seeing people. It's that conversation. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, it is the oldest hospital in WA, and
I'm older than it.
Oh, yes. I thought you were young.
Sorry.
And you know, it's been there for a long time, and it will continue to be there. And whenever you need us, we will be here.
And working with the other clinicians and you know, people, about culture, it's about community, it's about you know, again, fronting up there to the hospital, and of course your engagement is also helps with the referring as well.
That's right. I mean, I think what we have is a multidisciplinary, and by multidisciplinary we've got lots of different specialties that work together, and that's been shown through lots of scientific studies to be really effective at dealing with diabetic foot problems. But I think we need to take it one step further, and that multidisciplinary should also include the patient, and we can't include the patient without engagement and trust.
Now, thank you very much, all of you, coming into the studios here as well. Would you like to say anything more, David? And anything that we may not have touched?
I mean, the big thing for me, Jeremy, is to really say to the community that there is no shame with any of this stuff. Come and speak to anyone, any service that you want to engage with. They will always listen to you, and they will always try and help you. So it's really important. We're never, ever going to blame anyone for anything. And so that's our motto, no shame, no blame. Come in and engage with the service, because in the end, it's going to improve your health for the better. When you stick your head in the sand, that's when these problems develop into something bigger and maybe something that can't be treated in the long run. So use the resources that are at you. Talk to your family. Use them as support networks. Use the health clinicians that you trust, and that will improve your health.
Yep. And the phone number?
From Woodidge Centre, 9278-9922. Brooke will be getting a few phone calls today, hopefully.
From all around Australia.
Yeah, maybe.
And Nat, what would you like to say to people that are listening to you?
Thank you. You're just the same with Diabetes WA. We're quite open and encourage our Noongar community to come in just to give us a ring if they got any concerns. We're a free service as well, and we have programs that are available as well. One with Foot Smart program. So come in and have a yarn with us, and we'll be able to help you on your diabetes journey and be there along it and support you as well.
And I suppose there's one question that I'd like to ask, which is about the education programs that you do as well. You mentioned you go to schools as well.
Yeah, I was previously. So at the moment, as we said, we've got the DESMAN program, the Diabetes Education and Self-Management for Ongoing and Newly Diagnosed. So that's the yarning session we have, and that's a person-centred approach. So that's where we make you feel comfortable, and you just yarn with us about your journey, and then we help you along that journey, and then we make your care plan around your lifestyle. So we're not forcing you to do anything. We're not telling you to do anything. This is your journey, and we're there to support you. So that's the DESMAN, and then as we said, we've got the Foot Smarts program where we run small little workshops, and we've got many smarts programs, but yeah, today's all about the feet and whatnot. So give us a call on 1300 001 880, and we'll have a yarn.
Well, it was wonderful to have you three on the program and right here on Health Matters, and absolutely thank you all for coming into the studios of 100.9 FM.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.